Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Really glad to have this young lady back. She's the former press secretary for the Department of Education. It's Angela Morabito. Angela, how are you? Good to see you.
It's great to see you, Joe. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. You can follow her at Angela Morabito. Is it your entire first name on or first and last name on Twitter?
Yes, with a middle initial. So it's at Angela L. Morabito.
At Angela L. Morabito, and it's Italian, so it's spelled exactly what it sounds like. That's how we make that language easy for you. Also, there's a website, dfipolicy.org, if you'd like to go check that out. You're an education strategist. I've got five kids. All of them went to public school or they're in public school. I went to public school my entire life. I never felt like I was being indoctrinated. I never felt like somebody was trying to tell me to vote a certain way. I never had a drag show that I had to go to for some sort of event at a library. It's like we suddenly have made this weird switch. And correct me if I'm wrong, Angela, maybe it's taken a while, but it feels to me like all of a sudden everything switched. And you can do anything you want with kids now in school. The parents who have to pay for it through their taxes don't have any say. If you do have a say, you'll be in trouble with the DOJ. They're going to investigate you as a right-wing terrorist. Does it feel as immediate to you as it does to me, or was this gradual?
Well, it definitely felt immediate to me, but there has been this gradual erosion of parents' rights and gradual infusion of progressive ideology into schools. There's no one date we can pick out on the calendar and say, like, at this date, at this time, all these drag queens showed up in school libraries.
Right.
It'd be certainly really interesting if we could.
What I found in
so many ways is that this is what happens when conservatives and even people who are entirely apolitical but are just looking out for their kids,
right,
when we turn a blind eye or when we assume, oh, the schools will be fine or, oh, the school will look out for my child's best interest, it's little by little and then all at once you realize that the schools have gone completely woke.
Yeah, and they really have. Let me ask you about drag queens specifically. Do you have any idea, has anybody told you, even in confidence, the reason why they're doing this is A, B, or C? Because again, listen, I'm an adult. I don't look like I'm in my 50s. I've never been to a drag show. If I wanted to go, I could, because it's adult entertainment. I've never in my life heard it explained as anything other than adult entertainment. Why does anybody want a 4, 5, 6-year-old kid to go see a drag show and put dollar bills down some guy's underwear?
It's nothing but a virtue signal, or maybe a vice signal. I don't know if you could call some of that virtuous to put it in front of children.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting to me about when they shove things like drag queens, CRT, social emotional learning, when all that stuff gets crammed into the school day,
right,
I'm really concerned about what gets left out. And what we've seen in recent test scores, they've apparently forgotten, or at least entirely failed to teach children how to read, write, and do math.
Such a great point. We got the pride flag that we have to explain every day in the classroom. Why we're not going to say the pledge that we have to explain. CRT, why white kids should, I don't know if you saw this video just last week, white kids serving black kids. And the teacher, who happened to be a black guy, said, oh, this wasn't about race. It was just a fun exercise. He literally had black children sitting down as white children were forced to serve them. And again, imagine you did that with black children to white children. It would be ridiculous. So go ahead.
Sorry, there's just such a difference between teaching history and teaching division.
Yes.
And I don't know a single person on either side of the aisle who is saying we should censor or leave things out of American history. I think it's actually pretty encouraging. That's something we all agree on. But where we disagree is how it gets taught. And that's what CRT is. It is the most divisive way of trying to teach people about this country. And it teaches all the wrong lessons. It teaches that some people can't succeed instead of, yes, that everybody can.
The strangest thing, and it's Angela Morabito, former press secretary for the Department of Education. Go to dfipolicy.org. Follow her everywhere on social media. But what's interesting to me is that places like The View have argued that Ron DeSantis, by saying you can't have CRT in school, is literally saying you may not teach black history in school. Angela, have you heard anybody who is a leader in this country say you're not allowed to teach black history?
Not a one. And the day I hear somebody talking like that or saying that we should eliminate some kinds of history is the day you're going to see me really, really mad. To me, the disagreement is not necessarily about what gets taught, but how. You know, in some cases, actually, I'm going to run that back. In some cases, it is what gets taught.
Yeah.
Because you have folks who want to teach things like the 1619 Project, which has been thoroughly debunked.
Right.
You have people who want to teach things like third graders need to unpack their privilege or, you know, deconstruct their different identities. That's not education. That's indoctrination. And if we got people together and just decided to teach the facts, I think we would have a whole lot less to disagree on about education in this country.
How has it gotten like this? Is it because of the teachers' unions? And by the way, I don't think anybody who's on a government check should be in a union. I feel strongly about that. I was in a I was in the UAW when I was a TV news anchor in Flint, Saginaw, Michigan. And it did nothing for me. I didn't see why we were, but it was a private organization, private company. They can organize if they want, have a labor union if they want. Why would we pay teachers from our tax dollars and then allow them to unionize and then fight us? I just find that to be so strange. Now they have all this power. You can't get rid of a bad teacher. You can't get rid of a teacher that brought a drag queen in to teach or to teach your child how to grind on a pole or something. Is it do you find like I do that the unions are an issue or not?
Oh, the unions are a huge issue. You have unions in cities all over the country where they use their bargaining power to inflict woke curricula on the schools. You have places like Minneapolis where their union actually forces the district to use CRT in practice and to use race-based hiring and layoff procedures, which is ridiculous. It should have nothing to do with what a teacher looks like and everything to do with how good of a teacher I'm not good of a teacher, that person is. So the teacher unions, and I mean, it's amazing what I raised that your union didn't do much for you.
Yeah.
We're seeing something very, very similar with a lot of teachers, where the unions are just forcing politics through every level of education, whether a teacher agrees with it or not. There's way more that gets spent on political lobbying than gets spent actually helping teachers.
And by the way, there are some great teachers out there who just aren't allowed to teach. And you're right, the amount of knowledge that's being gained by our students in this country is just in the cellar. It's nowhere near what it should be. And the unions all fought to keep kids out of school during COVID and to keep them masked up. And they were trying to force kids to get the jab. And thank God, you know, people who were smarter said, don't give anybody this. What are you, crazy? Don't push that on kids. They actually had it as part of the schedule for schools from the FDA or the CDC or somebody. And some jurisdictions are saying, we're not following that. We're not going to force people to get this shot. So this has been forced. But you know, a question I never get an answer to, Angela, and maybe you can help me with this. Because you're really smart, smarter than I, clearly. Why? Why are they doing it? Why do unions want to indoctrinate? Why do people want to teach divisive things like CRT and 1619 Project? Why do we want to expose kids to drag queens? Do you know the answer to why?
This has everything to do with political indoctrination. The union is certainly not there for students and families. It's not even really there for teachers. The union is there to get the union more power. And the union knows it can accomplish this if, you know, teachers, more and more teachers are forking over a hefty chunk of their paycheck. And if students are brought up in this system to believe everything the teacher union wants to tell them.
Yeah.
They know that they will face a lot less resistance in this next generation if they fully indoctrinated that next generation to agree with everything they say.
It's amazing to me. It really is. All we want is a good education. And it used to be when I was growing up, and even when my kids were younger, where it would be the parents and teachers would get together. We'd form a coalition. We'd get a really productive, educated member of society who go out there and succeed. It's not like that anymore. We only want you to feel the way we feel, vote the way we say vote. We don't really care what knowledge you get. And that's very, very strange to me. It's Angela Morabito. Go and follow her, Angela L. Morabito, over on social media. And also go to DFIpolicy.org. So let me ask you about, you sent me a note the other day on Twitter, and you said something about pills and pronouns. And it was a very interesting comparison that you made, what teachers and educators are allowed to do with your child without your knowledge and what they're not allowed to do. Fill me in.
So this Pills and Pronouns project was all about the rights of parents. And I found that 3 million kids all across the country are allowed to change their name and pronouns at school without their parents' consent. But they're not allowed to get a Tylenol from the school nurse unless mom or dad signs off.
That's crazy.
So it's neat. Oh my gosh, bananas, because you look at these medication policies and you think that makes sense. We used to all recognize in this country that parents have the right to make those decisions, large or small, for their children. But now, you know, if a tummy ache merits a phone call home, a child saying, I want to be a different gender, that should absolutely have mom and dad involved. And yet you see these districts, including 8 of the largest 20 in the nation, saying we do not need parents to be notified or to consent. They're just shutting them out of the conversation.
And it's something, because you're right. You can't give a Tylenol. You can't go get something for a stomach ache or whatever, but you can in fact say, call me the opposite gender, here's my new name, and then also call me the opposite gender when it comes to pronouns, and mom and dad aren't allowed to know. But as you know, Angela, they what they're saying is the parents won't accept them. The parents are closed-minded about them being gay or trans or fill in the blank. The parents won't understand. The parents will abuse the children. They always use that one. The parents will just beat the hell out of the kid because they feel like it if we tell them what their child is doing in school. And all that's false. It's false narrative. Are there abusive parents? Sure. Does it have anything to do with this? Probably not. But that's what they use to try to get people like you and me who are using logic to shut up.
That's true. And I think it's important to note that Florida got so much heat for their parental rights law. And in that law, it says you don't ever have to put a child in a position where you think they're going to be physically harmed. So none of this has anything to do with putting a child in harm's way. That is the last thing our schools should be doing. But I would argue that a school does put a child in harm's way when they totally sideline the parents and say that they will address a child however way that child sees fit. You know, something like 80% or upwards of children who are not put on a path to transition end up growing out of their gender dysphoria.
Right.
And that's a medical term. And anything we're dealing with that's medical, I mean, upwards of a Band-Aid, mom and dad should know about it. And I think these schools are really trying to demonize the parents and say, oh, they're going to be harmful. Oh, they're going to reject their child. That is a set of assumptions that, thankfully, by far and by large, is just incredibly false.
It is Angela Morabito, great information, former press secretary for the Department of Education. I think I've asked you this before, and I think that you agree with me, but if you don't, that's cool too. I don't think there should be a Department of Education. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that the federal government will have any say, any input into curricula, any input into education, period, end of story. Don't know why Jimmy Carter brought it on, but now it's upwards of $70 billion a year that I don't even know how that it's spent. Do you agree with me that education should be up to the individual states because it's not in the Constitution, and the Department of Ed probably should go away?
I completely agree. And I was, you know, very fortunate and absolutely honored to serve under a cabinet secretary who was more than happy to work herself out of a job.
Yeah.
She was absolutely driven and dedicated to restoring power in education back to the state and local level, and ultimately in the hands of parents. That's the end goal here, is to have parents in the driver's seat. But you look at the billions and billions of dollars that have been spent on the Department of Ed, and it begs the question, what's the return on that investment? The achievement gap has hardly budged.
Yeah.
Our students are middle of the road. We're being outcompeted by other countries, including, you know, adversarial nations. What are we actually getting out of this gazillion-dollar project? I know gazillion is not a technical math term, but I would
it's close to a gazillion. It is. No, it's close to a gazillion. Let me throw this out there, and I wonder what your thoughts are on this. And again, I think we've talked about this before. School choice, obviously, is the best way to go. School choice forces competition, makes the public school better. It allows people to take public dollars, tax dollars, and actually get a good education if they're not getting a good education now. We know that lower income, higher crime areas would benefit exponentially more than higher income areas and low crime areas, because the higher income areas already can afford to send their kids to private school if they wanted to, or a charter school as well. So these kids, we can make that education gap a lot closer and actually help people who aren't getting a good education. So what I just said is verifiably true. It's not my opinion. Competition always makes it better. If it's just McDonald's, they can charge all they want, make a horrible burger if they want. Burger King shows up, and guess what? Now they've got to work harder to get my money. So what's the argument against what I just said by those who are against school choice? Because school choice literally harms people who historically are assumed to be voting Democrat than it does for those who historically would vote Republican.
Right. The argument, totally false argument, that's used by the teacher unions is that, public schools are the only right way to go for every child. They stand on the side that says a child's future should essentially be determined by their zip code, and that we shouldn't pay attention to the ways a child learns best. We should force them into a system that says your school is assigned by the street that you live on.
I'm sorry. I've got to interject. Of course, you know that they're lying. That's not true.
Oh, totally.
Their stance on that is untrue. So if we're going to be truthful, and they're not, I guess, but if they were like off the air, away from cameras, Angela, I know that you're right, but we have to do this because of, is it for the money? Is it for the power? Is it for the control? Why are they doing it knowing that their argument is specious?
It's for all of the above. I think you just nailed it, Joe. Money, power, and control. The more students they have captive in public schools who can't leave, the more teachers those public schools have to hire, and the more money the union can take out of their paychecks. It allows this snowball to keep building powerful. When parents have choice and they can take their education funding to where children learn best, they're you know, in many cases, if your only public school options are terrible schools, that family is going to end up in a private school, most likely. Yeah. I think that is a rational choice for that family to make. And then the public school loses out on that money. That is less money that the union has to pull from to keep making itself more powerful.
What's a piece of advice? Last question for Angela Morabito. Go to Angela L. Morabito on Twitter, elsewhere as well. Are you on Getter? Are you on Truth? Are you on all those?
I am not. I am on Twitter is the best place to find me.
Okay, so go find her on Twitter, also DFIPolicy.org. Best advice for parents listening right now who fear their kids' teachers might be trying this pronoun game in school.
Oh, gosh, I love that question. And the answer is just two words. It is stay informed. I was shocked at what I found in this report, because you assume it would just be these like big blue woke cities hiding gender transitions. But it's not. This stuff is everywhere. So I would encourage every parent listening to this, get on Google right now, like check out your school board's policies. And if they have something in place that means they can hide your child's name and pronouns from you, you ought to ask why, and you ought to demand a really good answer.
Great answer from you. It's Angela L. Morabito over on Twitter. You can go follow her there, DFIPolicy.org, former press secretary for the Department of Education. I thought Betsy DeVos did a great job, and I thought you did a great job as well. Come back again very soon. Angela, good to see you.
Thank you so much, Joe.
All right, we're back after this. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Monday, the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have Angela Morabito on. Again, Angela, like you'd normally spell it, L-M-O-R-A-B-I-T-O. Angela Morabito. She's the former press secretary for Betsy DeVos. We've got to get Betsy DeVos back on. I thought she was a great press secretary, or not a press secretary, the secretary of education. Morabito was her press secretary. But Carrie, what bothered me about Betsy DeVos in her time was that people on the left who run these schools allowed for students and teachers and unions to act a fool when Betsy DeVos was going to come and visit. Remember that? They had to like sneak her out the side door or something?
I do remember that, yeah. Yep.
Can you imagine? I would never, ever, ever, never think that the current Secretary of Education, who sucks, who said he's horrible, this guy's horrible, this guy wants to give the loan forgiveness, he's not wearing a mask while he makes all the students wear the mask, just a horrible. I would never want anybody to go and stop his ability to go into a public school that he's the secretary of overseeing, basically, and say, you can't go in there. No, just make sure you vote the right people in. And if you want to go to his office and protest there, God bless you. You're going to protest at the school, make it unsafe for the education secretary? I just thought that whole thing was stupid. And the argument that she's pro school choice, she's horrible. No, it's actually good. You want to build from the bottom up and the middle out? Sorry, I couldn't help myself. You want to build from the bottom up? You've got to build better schools in those areas. If you don't, then you've got to give them the availability of choice of school and then make the public school compete, which makes them get better. It's pretty simple. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. K next hour. Keep it here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.